Recorded Books and RB Digital present Wind River Cowboy by Lindsay McKenna. Narrated by Johanna Parker. Chapter 1.
Ambush!
Sergeant Kira Duval's earpiece rang with the warning from Army Captain Aaron Mickelson, the Special Forces A-Team leader. The night was black, and an RPG exploded right in between the two Humvees they were riding in. The 12-person team halted, and all hell broke loose. Kira exited the vehicle, hearing the hollow thunk of another RPG being fired in their direction. She heard more orders in her earpiece as she threw herself on the muddy Afghan ground, hands over her head, mouth open. The night erupted into red, yellow, and orange flames as the second RPG hit the first Humvee, which Aaron was in. She wanted to scream, but the blast lifted her off the ground, hurling her several feet, and she started rolling to minimize the impact. Keeping her mouth open to equalize the pressure between her lungs and the outside air so they wouldn't melt into jelly, Kira had the M4 strapped in a harness across her chest. She fell hard on her side, the weapon jamming into her rib cage, making her cry out. Another explosion erupted. Her eardrums were pounded. The pain in them caused her to grunt. The shouts, screams, and orders roared into her head. She saw dark shadows exiting her Humvee, the other four men trying to escape and run for cover. Someone jerked her up by the shoulder of her uniform harness, dragging her along, heading for a group of shadowy rocks. Gasping, Kira struggled and then lunged to her feet with the help of Sergeant Garrett Fleming, who was at her side. He was screaming into his mic for the four operators, ordering them to get to the safety of the rock fortress just ahead of them. Another RPG was fired. AK-47 fire was like a fusillade slamming into the escaping Special Forces survivors. Kira didn't have time to cry. The first Humvee was twisted metal, flames roaring into the dark sky, sending long, dancing shadows across the muddy soil. She slipped, but Gara kept a tight, gloved hand on her uniform, keeping her on her feet as they raced 300 yards to safety. They had to get cover, or they were all dead. Her mind spun. There had been 6 men in that first Humvee. Had any of them made it out? She heard Garrett yelling into the mic for Captain Mickelson, but there was no answer from their leader. Oh, God. She'd lived with this team for 3 years. They couldn't be dead. They just couldn't. Sobbing, tears burning in her eyes, Garrett suddenly went down. She heard him curse. He released her shoulder, sending her spinning and falling to the left of him. Bullets were digging up mud all around them, geyser spouts flung into the air. They were not only ambushed, but surrounded on half of the area where they were scrambling to find cover. Landing hard on her knees, she twisted around, the mud making everything slippery. Kira saw the shadows of 2 other A-team members running in their direction. Bullets mowed them down. Screaming, Kira lunged for Garrett, who was grabbing his left leg, blood spurting from his calf. Just as she reached Garrett on her hands and knees, a second bullet struck him in the head. He suddenly collapsed, lifeless, on the ground.
No, I love him. You can't kill him. You can't!
Kira grabbed Garrett's shoulder. The man was 6'2" tall, 220 pounds, without counting the 70 pounds of gear he wore on his body. Jerking at him, she managed to get to her feet. Adrenaline gave her the strength of 2 men, and she hauled Garrett behind the rocks that stood 5 to 10 feet tall in a semicircle around them. She called for their 18 Delta medics. No answer from either of them. There were 2 on each team. Were they both dead?
No.
Gasping for breath, Kira knelt down by Garrett, seeing the blood pouring from his calf. With shaking hands, she pulled off the tourniquet he kept on the epaulette of his left shoulder, quickly fashioning it around the upper part of his right calf. Yanking it hard, she stopped the bleeding on his leg and tied it off. Hauling the M4 off her shoulder, she took a position at the end of the rock pile. Her earpiece came to life as she heard Warrant Officer Ethan Torrance radio for Apaches to come help them. She heard him calling off the coordinates, asking any black ops in the immediate area to race to their aid. Kira wasn't aware of any other friendlies who were around their sector. She sighted her M4 against the rock,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?